One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight, I'm joined by Isaac Butterfield, and that's a name a lot of people will probably know because this guy is one of Australia's biggest YouTube comedians and just comedians in general. He sells out shows all around Australia, all around the world, and I am lucky enough to have him on the show today. Isaac, welcome.
Yes, you are very lucky. I've had absolutely nothing to do all day, so I thought I'd do a bit of charity work. How you doing, big fella?
I am doing good, mate. I had to beg and plead with your management, and they said, look, he is extremely busy at the moment.
Mate, I had to make a coffee. What else have I done? I've bloody hung the washing up. That's about it. That's where I'm at the moment.
It's about what my day is.
6 hours into my day.
Yeah, I feel you. We're, of course, in isolation, so we're all doing very exciting things at the moment.
A great time. It's fantastic.
It's amazing. So, mate, you know, you have this fantastic YouTube channel. You've got 1.3 million followers on there at the moment, subscribers.
Yeah, 1.305876, not that I'm counting, but that is certainly growing by the day. it's really cool, man. It's it grew from nothing. I've still got screenshots of when I had 3 subscribers. So,
oh, wow.
that's only in two and a half years. So, you know, I mean, it just goes to show that with content and a bit of sacrifice and drive, you know, you really can grow a YouTube channel or online. Obviously, an enormous amount of talent has to exist, and thankfully, I had that enormous amount of talent. And it just goes to show for a lot of people, you know, I often talk about it took me a year to get to 1,000 subscribers, and then a couple of videos really blew up. So, you know, I always tell people that when they say, how can I do YouTube? And I was one of those people saying to, you know, people like Frenchie and Josh Wade, how do I start?
Yeah.
And then I started and I'm very, 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 very lucky with the success I've had, but also very, very happy that I did decide to start when I did, because it was a tough decision to go, hey, let's make some content. But thankfully I did do that.
And that's it. And you really do. You put yourself out there. And what I like about you is you're really not afraid to say what you're thinking. And there's a good chance it's what a large population is thinking as well.
Yeah, the silent majority is everywhere across the world. Everyone seems to have these weird weird constraints on them, you know, put on them by who knows. And that's one of the biggest things that I find is a lot of people feel that they can't do this or can't say that. But really, who's telling you can't do that? It's usually just yourself. And a lot of the times people think, oh, these are so offensive, these thoughts or... But most of the time, they're just quite rational, really. You know, things, you know, I've covered a lot of different subjects. I'm not going to talk about it on your channel because I don't want you to get it demonetized as well. But but the thing is, you know, a lot of the times that nothing I ever say comes from hate other than vegans. Nothing I ever say comes from hate. It all comes from a place of respect. But it's just good to talk shit also at some time.
Indeed it is, mate. It is. And what's really cool is your content's so varied, and you've actually started to dip your toe into the paranormal world, which really pricked up my ears, because you've actually filmed three of your own documentaries, self-funded, self-shot, everything, and they're amazing.
Thank you. When I started making content, about Newcastle, where I'm from. And then I decided that was what I was going to do. I was going to make it about Newcastle, grow a following in Newcastle, and I did that. And then I did the same thing with New South Wales, the state I'm from, so I did that. And then Australia. And now I have a variation of content that I put up, and all the different people that have come together onto my YouTube channel have come there for different reasons. Some like these videos, some don't like these videos, all that type of stuff. There's a whole mix, and it's great. It's like a TV station. You know, some things come up that you're interested in, some things come up that other people are interested in. And that's why I jumped into the paranormal. Something I talked about with Connor, my producer, since I started YouTube, was doing these type of videos. And thankfully, last year we finally got around to it and did it. But, man, it's fun. Obviously, we've made three. We had plans for many more, including three that we're going to film in Melbourne when I was there for the Melbourne Comedy Festival, but that all got cancelled due to the old Rona. So, unfortunately, we're stuck at three at the moment, but we have a lot in planning, and we've got to know a few people now in the game, and they now treat us with not respect. Respect's the wrong word, but treat us with they actually listen to us. They don't think we're coming in there to make fun of them.
Yeah.
They don't think we're in there to take the piss. Like, we joke and we laugh, but we pay the respect to the people who are letting us in on their lives. And, perhaps at one point we might have to take the piss of different people. We'll see how we go. But now it's more about just showcasing people's stories, ideas. And some people look at those ideas and they laugh, and some agree, and some have had similar experiences. And it's all just a variation, and it's a good cross-section of the local environment here in Australia, because there's a lot of different people getting around.
Yeah, well, that's it. And there's one thing about the paranormal that I notice is that, you'll have a whole bunch of people that have all these experiences, and, there might be a ghost experience, there might be a Yowie experience, but the way every person reacts to those situations is always different.
Absolutely. I had a very strange experience filming the first one. We arrived up in the Gold Coast there, and Zach, my tour manager, Zach Wild, the red bearded lesbian on Instagram, great guy. He's trying to hit 10K. It's not going to happen. And he lived just around the corner. So he walked up, and we got there, and I was like, oh, I'm going to, play a few jokes on him. But at the end of the day, it was very, very creepy, this place. It was an old haunted museum. We went around. Not much happened. We had some weird stick figures that appeared on the Xbox Kinect. I'm not even sure how that is, how that's supposed to work. But some stick figures appeared on that. Some human figure shapes appeared on that. But probably about an hour into the video, if you get a chance to see it, I encounter a whisper.
Yes, and this is something I actually want to talk to you about, because
right,
you can actually hear it on the video.
Yeah, and we were lucky we caught that. I messaged Connor. I said, man, I heard something there. Can you go through and play with the audio and see if you can hear it? And he rang me like at 11 o'clock at night. He said, mate, I heard it. I've heard it. I'll send it to you in the morning. This is insane. And some people are like, oh, no, that's, that's bullshit. That's whatever. It was someone behind you. The closest person behind me was probably, 3 meters away. And it happened directly into my right ear, if I'm correct, remembering correctly. And it felt like how people with schizophrenia, sort of explain how they hear voices. So originally, with my weird anxiety towards illnesses, I thought I had schizophrenia for a moment, but thankfully it was caught on the audio. Turns out I don't. That's good. And they heard it on the audio, and we're not quite sure what it says. But it sounded like when the lady who was giving us the tour was talking about some women who were involved with the museum, and then the voice comes in and says liar or higher. I seem to think it says liar, but originally we thought it said higher, but higher doesn't really make sense. Liar makes better sense and makes a better story. So
absolutely does.
Liar.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And what's really cool about the encounter is you can actually see your facial expression change. Because you look like you're not sure what just happened.
I shat it. I absolutely shattered. I was like, holy shit, that is creepy. Because that's one of the things is it happened so quickly that if I wasn't in a haunted area or I didn't have cameras recording everything, I would have just moved on with my life and never thought about it again. But because we were there and I heard it, I thought, oh, we better listen back and try and hear what happened or try and wrap our heads around what happened. And thankfully we did because we came up with some pretty cool quote-unquote evidence there. So yeah. I was really happy with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing about your videos is like you said earlier, they are, you know, they're pretty lighthearted. They take a little bit more of a lighter approach to the situation. But what you do capture and what you do see, it's legit. It's real.
Yeah, absolutely it's real. It's Zach and I. We're freaking out. We're scared, you know, and he has a lot of experience. He'd be good for your podcast too. He's a very interesting dude once you get past the weird exterior of how he looks. But he's had a lot of experiences with dark shadows standing over him,
standing
in the corner of his house for a number of years, and a lot of weird experience with Ouija boards and all that type of business. So he came into it with more experience than I. I really didn't have much at all. I've only had like one sort of slight sort of thing that happened, and that was more of a dream state. So I don't know what happened there, but he, you know, he was excited about it and I was excited about it too. And then capturing, you know, particular pieces of evidence was very interesting for us. And not having an explanation for the voices that we heard or the noise that we heard, that was one of those things where you go, you know, you hear people say, oh, you know, that's made up, or that's just a noise of the cupboard moving or whatever. And it's one of those things where you say, well, if you were there, you'd know that wasn't it. Even though we have camera angles and two different camera angles, but people still sort of, they refuse to believe that type of stuff. But I was there. It happened to me. I know it was real. So it's whatever it was very, very creepy.
You know, I've spoken to hundreds of people with this podcast, and For those ones who say they don't believe what happens, you'll find that those people will even have the same mindset when they're in that situation. Because I've spoken to people who've had, say, group encounters, very much like what you've had there. And some people just flat out refuse to accept what happened. They won't talk about it. It's just, nah, it rocks their reality way too much.
I think you just have to be accepting to whatever happens around you. And I'm one of those people who sort of just rolls with the punches rather. And I think that is a good attitude to have, particularly when you're hunting for something like this, whether it is a ghost or Bigfoot or whatever. Be open to the idea that you don't know everything about reality. And we as human beings, we don't know everything about what happens in our universe. And the chances of us being experts in our own realm are very, very slim. At the moment, and I doubt that ever become any better. I think that we don't understand the universe around us, and whether or not there are interdimensional beings or they're ghosts or there is spirits, I don't know. I haven't acquired the evidence yet. I'm confident that we will continue to create more compelling videos surrounding all these different types of things. But still, it doesn't matter how much evidence you provide, people will still be naysayers, and that's fine. That's not who these videos are for. These videos are for people sitting at home going, oh, let's have a bit of a laugh and get a bit freaked out.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about,
yeah.
You know? And we go into these situations and we have good guides that take us around. And in that one, the lady was a witch, she told me she was a witch. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. I'm Isaac, nice to meet you. And she looked after us, so, and that was cool, you know, different people, different strokes, different folks. And yeah, it's an interesting way to meet different people and have different experiences, you know, and that's what I really enjoy about the whole situation.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really, really cool. And some of the experiences that you had just in that one Gold Coast location, because it looks like it's this small historical village. So you're kind of going around to all these little different locations and you're kind of experiencing these different things in different areas. And one of the favorite things from that first documentary you did is the Xbox Kinect thing, that camera capturing these stick figures that you physically, you can't see them there in the real world, but this device is somehow picking up these shapes, and actually you can see they're forming a person. There's yeah. These stick figures. What was the vibe like in that type of situation? Does that step up the intensity?
I might just on my other screen have a quick Google while I'm talking about this, because I don't really understand how it is supposed to work. Because it was sort of, we walked in there and we're all sort of like, oh, okay, why are we using this? And no one really explained it. But then we started picking up particular images on the screen, and we're thinking, okay, why is this happening? Why are they shaped like humans? All that type of stuff. Now, the Xbox Ghost, compelling viewing here. I just want to see very quickly, just so I know what I'm talking about here. The Kinect SLS camera has an infrared light projector with a monochrome CMOS, one of the best sensors available, sensor that shows everything as dots arranged in 3D formation. These infrared dots allow the camera to show depth and detail. The software sees people by recognizing joints and movement. The detector will detect any paranormal entities that the program recognizes as human beasts based on the shape and body parts and joints. Video can be recorded directly to the camera. So they're seeing joints, they're seeing movements, and that's why they are seeing these stick figures pop up on the screen. And that's weird. Like, it doesn't really have much. Doesn't make much sense. And the big thing was, we had one that was sitting in a chair. That was creepy. And yeah, then it also lit up one of the lights that we had in the chair. But we also, later in the video, we went to a grave where there was this stick figure, and then a smaller stick figure in that grave, laying in the grave, which was very weird. And then we found out that, of course, there is a mother and a baby buried there. So we were like, oh, fucking right, oh, jeez. That's a bit tough. But it was weird, man. And then when one of our sound lady, our makeup girl Claire, she went in there and went to touch one of them, and it cowered away from her.
Yeah.
That was weird too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like these things are genuinely interacting with you. And it was
very strange.
It is. And it really makes for compelling viewing, because it just goes to show that, you know, there must be some type of sentience to these things.
Well, that's the idea, I guess. And I'm sure there's several experts out there who will debunk it and all that type of business. But, you know, there are other people out there that are saying that it's legit. And I want to go into these things with the sense of, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just seeing what I'm seeing. So that was very interesting. The second ghost hunt we did, which was in a jail, that was far better as far as – it was fun. It was so fun. It was a lot of fun.
That was in Maitland Jail, and that's in your home city.
Yeah, it's about 40 minutes up the road from me. And it was – I went there as a kid, and I knew it was a creepy place. And to go in there, you know, it was pretty scary and all that type of stuff. And they were showing us around. Obviously, this is a place where a lot of death has occurred, a lot of sadness, a lot of personal destruction, murderers, rapists, the whole shebang, you know, in a jail. And I think 130,000 people or 300,000 people, some crazy number, had passed through there as prisoners.
You're kidding.
In its 120-year history or whatever it was. It was an insane number. When I heard that, and we hadn't got that on video, unfortunately, I was shocked to hear that. So,
yeah, that's huge.
To think that, you know, a lot of people have passed through there, a lot of people have been hung there, all those different types of things, that set the scene for a very interesting experience in Maitland Jail.
Yeah, absolutely, because this video, this documentary is – it's very intense, because you can see there's actually emotive responses from basically everyone in this video.
Yes.
And it's not just you, it's also the crew that's with you.
Yes.
Which is really intense, because that's not something that you'll see on a lot of other documentaries. You'll see, you know, the host will be like, oh, there's a ghost over there, or I'm hearing voices or footsteps. But we can see that it genuinely emotionally affected one of the girls that was with you on the tour.
Yeah, yeah, Claire. She had an experience with a séance, and I know a lot of people are iffy on the old séance situation, and I'm one of them. But the ladies there who were conducting it, they said, "There's a man here that wants to speak to you," and they started spelling out the man's name, and the man's name was Ted, who was Claire's grandfather.
Oh wow!
And I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's easy to guess names sometimes, but Ted just doesn't seem like a name that they would run with. You know, maybe maybe Bob or something like that. But Ted, I mean, maybe I'm just completely talking shit. I don't know. But it was very emotive, and it was emotional for me too, seeing her in that situation, and for Zach as well. You know, we're all a very close sort of family. So it was, you know, we traveled the world together. We spent a lot of time together. So to see one of us in that situation, we're all very upset. And it was weird. Her family was very, not didn't poo-poo it, but they were sort of like, oh, I'm sure it was this, or, you know, taking the skeptical angle. And as I'm sure most people would who watched it. But whether or not it was an old trick, an old seance trick, or whether or not it was something real, I think the truth, maybe it lies somewhere in the middle. But it was certainly very full on for everyone involved. And this was conducted in a church that was above the area where the prisoners were hung.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. So it's not the best spot. oh, people get married in this fucking prison too. Like,
you're kidding.
Like, they conduct weddings there now, modern day weddings. It's like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's intense. There's people out there who love this paranormal stuff, but to go and get married there, surely that's like a bad omen for that marriage.
Gotta be a bad omen. It has to be, surely.
Far out. Mate, that, and not only that whole seance thing, there was like a couple of other things that you encountered throughout that whole journey. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
What's up, guys? Troy here. I'm one of the co-hosts of comedy podcast Great Mates with Cade and Troy, which is now available everywhere you get your podcasts. And before you ask, yes, it is that Cade, the man behind this show, Believe. Now, Great Mates is a weekly podcast where myself and Cade sit down to discuss a random topic and answer questions essential to those times where you find yourself wondering, what if Spider-Man was bitten by a radioactive cow instead? Or do dogs have accents? Just search for Great Mates on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher and hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on the fun.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month. They got you to get blindfold and put about a friggin' billion Ouija boards around you, which I know you're not a fan of those things.
I don't like Ouija boards. They scare me, all right? They scare me because people say don't touch Ouija boards, so they scare me.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. Don't touch them. I think they're bad news.
I don't want to go near them. And so there's this particular cell, and the story is that and I had no idea this was happening. Apparently, Zach or Connor, our producer Connor, he organized it, which was interesting because I pay him.
so he stitched you up, you're saying?
What the fuck? Anyway, so I get blindfolded and I get taken into a cell. Now, the cell in question has a story behind it, and this is not able to be proven with any evidence through the jail itself, but it is an old story. And it's probably a story that if it were true, maybe the evidence wouldn't be there anyway, because it's pretty full on. So there was a dude in Maitland jail. He was locked in one of the isolation cells. He found religion. Unfortunately, it was Satanism or satanic worship. And he decided to sell his soul to the devil, as you do, you know, a couple of bitcoins here, a couple of bitcoins there, PayPal, whatever. And he then eventually killed himself in his cell. He didn't kill himself. He spontaneously combusted.
What?
Into fire. So how he died in his cell was he spontaneously combusted. So spontaneous combustion is the idea that you've just basically just burst into flames. And apparently it's happened several times throughout history. And this is what happened to this gentleman. And there was all satanic garb written on the walls in blood. And the the dude who went in there to clean it up, the guard, the screw, for those of you who've been inside, he went home that afternoon and killed himself, and in his suicide note said that he had to kill himself to stop the devil from reaching the earth.
Whoa, that's full on.
So I hear this story as I'm about to go in blindfolded, so I'm stoked. but I also heard that story one time before when I was a kid and I went to make my job. Wow. This is one of the stories they tell on the tour.
You're kidding. So
we go there as a part of history class in like year 7 or year 8 or something. So I'd heard that before, so I knew about that story. And they locked me in there. And in the footage, it's hard to sort of ascertain how I'm feeling, but it's like you don't really know how big the cell is because you're not often in cells, but it's like the size of like a bad bathroom sort of thing, I guess. And so I sit down and I feel like there's something like directly sitting in front of me. And there was a chair there in front of me, which was creepy that I knew there was one, but it just felt like there was something staring right at me the whole time. And yet, you know, in the footage, you can tell there's not. But it was a very, very strange feeling. That whole prison, that was weird. There was footsteps. There was the voice box recordings. I don't know if you saw that as well.
I did, with the word demon popping up on there.
Yeah, on the Oculus machine just before I went into the devil set, the world demon come up. So that just filled me with confidence. And what's the voice box things that are called?
The scrambling things?
Yeah, with the radio. So we used those, and the two ladies who were taking us around sat down with noise-canceling headphones on, and they were both yelling out, like, sentences of the exact same phrase.
And that might be the creepiest part of that whole documentary, because these ladies, they genuinely, they're in sync.
Yeah, they're in sync, exactly. And that was one of the things that I don't think we really pushed enough on, because it was creepy standing there. Like, they were yelling out sentences and you can't hear the person next to you. So even if it was a trick, they must have rehearsed it 400 fucking times.
Yeah.
You know, that would be unlikely. And it was one of those things where it was just strange, just really strange. And it was hard to sort of work out what was happening. One of the ladies yelled out, "He's from Dudley and that's where I was born." So that was weird.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, so there was all these things that happened in the situation, mate, and it was one of those things where you just go, oh, okay, just because there's so many things that happened in one night, you just go, all right, next room, you know. So we've only got 4 hours, and the bloody jail charged us like $2,000 to go through it. It was ridiculous.
You're kidding?
It's great advertising for them. They charge us a shit ton of money, the pricks. But anyway, whatever. So that's why we didn't plug them at the end of the video, because we already paid them. They got enough cash.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it, mate. And, you know, these videos, they're getting hundreds of thousands of views. So, you know, no need to charge, mate. No need to charge.
I think the first video is on nearly getting up 350,000, probably hit 400,000 before it slows down. So that's cool. That's for an hour and a half docker. I'm really happy with that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, the standard YouTube video, you know, I guess the common rule out there is anything just over 10 minutes, so it gets that little bit of extra money, ad revenue to it. But to do these longer ones, man, that's fantastic. And to get that retention rate all the way through, amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm really proud of that. So it'll be interesting to see what we can come out with next.
Well, I'm going to ask you that towards the end of the of our interview here, because I want to see where you do want to go. But let's was there anything weird that you didn't really include on that doco for the Maitland Jail?
Trying to think, we tried to include everything.
Or was there anything in there that really left you scratching your head, where you just kind of you're not sure what's going on there?
The seance was the number one.
Yeah.
That was very, very strange. But, I mean, you know, there's walking through the cells, there's sitting in there, there's, you know, there's just feelings, the whole being watched situation, which, you know, your mind is often in these situations when you're going in, you're expecting something paranormal to happen, you know, you're feeling watched because you're ready for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that feeling. But, no, I don't think we didn't include anything that we captured everything. We've got two camera guys, and Claire also has a camera. So we've got every angle covered as much as we can, you know, and our camera guys are pretty good. They don't stuff around. So everything we caught that night was what happened to us. You know, nothing jumped out or nothing was crazy like that. But actually, I tell a lie. At the start, we hear something and it's not caught on the audio, but we all heard it. There was like, you know, on like a basketball court or on concrete, you hear the slide of a shoe and it's got the squeak of a shoe. So we hear that down the end of A-Wing that we're in. And this is probably maybe 50 meters away from us. And the only person that's looking, everyone's has their backs to the cell that's 50 meters down the way, except for one of the paranormal investigators that was taking us through. And she says, okay, looks like we're going to have a good night because someone just popped their head out that cell and looked at us and then popped their head back in. And that was directly after we all heard that noise.
Wow.
So we all looked, turned around, and she was already looking, and she said that. And that was interesting. Now, obviously, she could have just made that up, but her name's Renata Daniels, and I don't think she would have made that up. I mean, I don't know. She's a very interesting lady. I first met her outside. I was doing a video for a company I was working for about paranormal stuff that happened in Newcastle, and I met her outside of the cathedral in Newcastle. And she spends time out the back there talking to people in graves and all that type of stuff, as you do. And but it's really, you know, that's her thing, and it's really interesting. You know, it's a crazy story, but that cathedral there. But anyway, so yeah, that was probably the one thing that we missed out on. But that's what happens with you know, making videos. Sometimes you just miss a little bit.
Well, that's it. And you know, the fact that you're actually capturing basically everything that's going on there, that's outstanding, because there will be people who dream of even just getting one thing. And you are absolutely kind of hitting the mark with each of these kind of adventures that you're going on, because you're not coming out empty-handed at all.
No, no. And that's lucky, you know.
That's really lucky.
And the same was with the Yowie video we did. We went into that. I know it's, well, I guess it's paranormal, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, mate, Yowie encounters a listener favorite on this show. Because okay. It's a rare thing that we get on here, because it's really hard for people to come forward to talk about Yowies. We can get UFO stories, ghost stories for days, but people they're very apprehensive about talking about Yowies, because it really does affect people more than anything else.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Because I guess the stories of, you know, ghosts are around. People can accept ghosts. People can accept UFOs. But when you go out into the bush and you see this thing that's eight foot tall, 10 foot tall, that's supposed to be made up. It's a real world crusher for a lot of people. Yeah.
Did you have Ron on the podcast?
Yeah, I did. I've had Ron on the podcast, and that guy's had more Yowie encounters than anyone I've ever spoken to. The guy is a magnet. I love Ron. For him.
He's great. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's a really good bloke.
He is a good dude. Man, our Bigfoot adventure, it was our Yowie adventure, rather. It took place up in the Sunshine Coast, the Glasshouse Mountains, and that place is an eerie place as it is. And, you know, we went in, I was open to the idea because, once again, you know, I'm just like, okay, hey, whatever's out there, who knows? This is a dense woodland, bush in Australia. Who knows? There's so many stories. And why is there so many stories from every ancient group in every continent across the world? They all sort of focus on the exact same thing, just slight variations. And we went out there dressed up in army gear because we're dickheads. And we went and sort of had a look, and you know, nothing really popped up until we went out in the middle of the night, and we were walking along, and you know, you hear a few tree taps, and Ron was telling us that okay, that's a Yowie communicating, and we're like, yeah, righto, mate. And then we sort of go lights out at one point. And there was, without a doubt, something creeping through the bush near us.
And that just makes the hairs on your arm stand up.
And it was terrifying. It was very, very scary because you don't know what's in there. It could be anything from a fox to some giant 8 foot tall ape creature. So, you know, you're sort of on the defensive straight away. And thankfully we didn't get attacked, but you could hear something walking through, and it sounded, I mean, obviously, I don't know what bipedal apes sound like, but it sounded like it was walking on two legs. It didn't sound like it was, you know, it didn't sound like a dog walking through the bush. It didn't sound like any of that. It sounded like something big stalking something.
Yeah.
And that something was us. And it was very, very creepy. And then out of nowhere, Zach, who was also with me, gets hit with a rock. And we were like, what? I was trying to think, work out what just happened. He gets hit with a rock. Now, did someone in the group we were with throw the rock? Possibly, potentially. Did someone from the local neighborhood, you know, trying to have some sleep that night, throw the rock because they got the shits because these dickheads are out in the bush? Of course, that could have happened as well. But it also could have been this Yowie creature that people talk about. So, man, that was creepy. And then we got out of there, thankfully, because rocks started raining in. And but, man, we heard something in the bush that night. And one of the ways they communicate with the Yowies is they hit a tree. It's called a wood knock. And we did a few of those, and we had wood knocks in response.
That's so creepy. That's really creepy because that creepy. Just makes that real then, doesn't it?
So what was making those wood knocks? Was it a Yowie? I don't know, but it was creepy. It was definitely very, very creepy, and it was a good experience, though. It was very, very strange, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think we'll probably go back out there and do some other things in the future. But, yeah, man, it was who knows what it was. It was probably, it could, you know, 99% chance it was nothing. There's always that little chance that something was really stalking us there. And I think Ron told us that it was Yowies are interdimensional beings, and that maybe threw me off a little bit, but I won't talk shit about Ron because I like him. But, you know, also, as I said before, that could be a possibility as well. I don't know if it is. I haven't done any research. I don't know what I'm talking about, so who knows?
And that's the thing when it comes to the paranormal, and especially Yowies, because it's kind of everyone really has their own opinion on them. And at the end of the day, no one knows. So every person could be right with their opinion. I let everyone have their own, and it's just like, who knows? I don't know. I'm not going to say what you think it is wrong.
Yeah, and there's always these possibilities, and we just have to be open to them. I think people who are not open to those type of things just aren't accepting, you know, the possible truth. And I think it's just good to be open to things, whether it's creatures, whether it's ghosts, or whether it's changes in life. You know, you just got to be open to things and open to different thinking, everything.
That's right. And the encounters that I've heard on this show, where especially when it comes to Yowies, is every Yowie encounter has its own little kind of spin to it. It has its own like little hook is what I would call it. That kind of makes it different to everything else. Sure. And I've heard people say they've heard Yowies running right next to them, but they can't see them. They can see the bushes moving, but nothing's in there. It's kind of like they see a predator type of outline. But
a mate of mine, it's actually my boxing coach, he was culling, I can't remember what particular animal it was, but in New Zealand he was a professional culler. And he was, he saw this thing crouch down and he shot it a few times and it stood up and it was like 8 foot tall and then ran away on two legs. So did he murder someone? Maybe. Or did he, man, there's stories, you know, there's a lot of stories out there. And, you know, stories have been around since the dawn of time. It's how people first communicated. And maybe it was started out as a warning not to go into the woods as part of ancient tribes, or maybe it was something with a lot of realism to it. There's also the possibility that there was giant ape creatures. I know that a lot of people point to the Gigantopithecus. And people point to that, and maybe that is the situation that's happening. Maybe that's where these stories come from.
Absolutely. Who knows? It's such an unknown, and it's kind of a romantic idea about the whole Yowie thing is that at the end of the day, I almost personally do not want us to ever know because it just takes the mystery away from that creature.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of the people we've talked to, if they did encounter the Yowie and they were able to prove it, they said they wouldn't tell people where they found it. Because they don't want people going in there. And I think that's a positive thing for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then you have the real world repercussions of what happens when these things are real. What happens to the houses that are near, and what happens to the national parks? What happens to anything close to that? Does it all get shut down? Does it all lose its value? Who knows? Do people go out there with pitchforks and guns? And
I'd say so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'd say they would. I mean, if I knew there was a giant ape creature killing people near me, I'd probably go into the bush with a gun as well.
Absolutely. But,
you know, that's not what's happening, obviously, but, you know, if it was. Obviously, you know, these things are like, if a great white shark was in the bush running around just chomping people, you'd go in there and kill it.
You would. You would.
You would. You just would.
So, mate, also on that Yowie encounter, you went into a haunted tunnel.
Yeah, we went into a haunted tunnel and not much happened in there. I know there was a few people saying there was a lot going on in there and they'd heard disembodied voices and stuff like that. There was a rock thrown in that tunnel, about 50, maybe 100 metres, maybe somewhere in the middle. And I don't know how someone would have thrown that rock. I'm sure you could throw a rock that far if you could launch it into the air, but with the trajectory only being, you know, 7 metres off the ground, I don't know how they could have done that. With the velocity you'd need, it would have had to be thrown at, you know, hundreds of kilometres an hour. Anyway, I don't know anything about velocity and speed. I'm a comedian, so I will leave that to the experts. But that was weird too. We didn't hear anything in there, and also we were in there and we were on the retreat from whatever was fucking chasing us, so I didn't give a shit about ghosts at that point. I was just like, something's coming. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But, you know, people had cool stories about that as well. One gentleman was out there one night and it started raining and he was hiding in the tunnel for shelter, and up the other end of the tunnel, rocks started coming and there was screaming and noises. And, you know, he believes that there was something in trying to get him out of the tunnel because that was that animal's tunnel.
Yeah.
So, you know, that might be true as well. I don't know.
And that's it. That's it. I always, when people come on the show, I always take it at absolute face value because they're retelling their experience the way that they remember it. And
sure.
it's absolutely not up to me to say, do you think it maybe happened this way? Because end of the day, I wasn't there.
And the mind often fills in the gaps as well. And correct. That's the thing with a lot of these things. You have to take it with a grain of salt with some people because the mind can fill it in. Also, you know, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. I live by that. I'm a fucking comedian. I talk shit all the time. So it's important to remember that with some people. But also, there is also that possibility that it's true.
That's right. That's it. That's exactly it. So, mate, you've done two ghost tours. You've done a Yowie hunt. What's next on the radar if you are willing to share?
Well, mate, there's a few things we've got up our sleeve. One that we were going to do in Melbourne because my show was called Outlaw at the Comedy Festival this year, and it'll probably be called that next year as well because it's a good name. We wanted to go to the Melbourne Jail, Old Melbourne Jail, and conduct some investigations around where Ned Kelly was hung.
Oh, wow. That'd be cool.
That was the logo, was the Ned Kelly helmet. So that was something cool. I'd still like to do that, whether that's this year, next year, whatever. I'm sure we'll do that at some point. UFOs, we're looking at doing some UFO stuff, and maybe there's some people that could hit me up with other ideas. Send me an email or something like that, or message me on Instagram. But I'm open to lots of different ideas. We want to go out and try and find the Tasmania as well. That's something we're going to do, and a lot of things that I can't talk about yet. But we're hopefully going to get some funding and going to put on a few extra people on the team and make it look like a very, very high production value piece. So. If you do enjoy the videos that I've been doing, please stay around. If you don't, fuck off.
Oh, love it. Love it, mate. So I do have to ask you, what got you into the paranormal? Was there a catalyst, or was it just something that you were always kind of interested in?
I just enjoy paranormal videos. I've always enjoyed that type of stuff. There's a lot of people on YouTube that make them, and you know, I've watched a lot of different videos, whether it's be on Netflix or on TV back in the day, and I just enjoy that type of stuff. That basically I'm creating something that I enjoy, and that's what I find is the best for making content, is making something that you find fun, and then that niche will be filled by people who also enjoy that. So that's basically it. There wasn't a certain situation or anything like that. It was just like, hey, this would be cool to do. Let's do it.
Yeah, no, that's the best way to do it. That's the best way to do it. Don't make it for anybody else. Make it for yourself. And if anyone else enjoys it, that's the bonus.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Well, Isaac, it's been fantastic talking to you, mate. It's very rare to get someone of your caliber on the show. It's someone who's made three fantastic, spooky little documentaries. And to get your input on what actually happened, and people have the opportunity now to go check those out and, you know, see it all happening in real life, that's a really rare opportunity.
Yeah, go and check them out. I mean, they're fun. They're not super serious, and as I said, I want to do a lot more. So you know, in a year's time we'll have this discussion again and we'll have a look at some other things that I've done. So hopefully once all these isolation bans lift, then we'll be able to get back out there and start creating interesting content again. That's the plan anyway.
For sure, for sure. And before I let you shoot off, Isaac, where's the best place for people to find you?
Just Google my name. I'm bloody everywhere.
Well, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.